听力课堂，听 class.com。
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey,
what's up, gang?
Hey. Oh, how are ya?
Righteous. Yeah. Good to see you again, man.
What's been going on?
Oh, check it out, man. In the newspaper today, did you hear? The Netherlands just legalized euthanasia.
Really?
Yeah.
Euthanasia, what's that?
It's like, you know, if you're sick and you're going to die and you have some chronic illness that there's no cure for, mm-hmm. and you're basically just going to deteriorate. Mm-hmm. Basically, if you're a citizen of the Netherlands, you can ask a doctor to pull the plug, sort of, and he will actually let you die or speed the process up.
Oh, in the Netherlands, you can also marry your gay
partner. Yeah. They're very progressive.
They're so liberal.
Yes. But you can't kill people there unless they want to be killed.
So it's a wanting to die.
You have to
want to die for them to actually let you or speed up the process, allow you to die.
I think so. Yeah. I don't know if it allows for, like, if you're a vegetable or something,
yeah,
if you don't have
a coma or something.
Yeah.
Like this.
I don't think it allows for that. I think you have to be in your own mind, and you have to be totally, like, they give you
coherent.
A test. Yeah, coherent. You have to be lucid and everything to make the decision for yourself.
Oh,
how
I
about
see.
You, Deb? Like, what if you were in a coma? Would you want someone to pull the plug on you?
If I was in a coma? I guess if I was in a coma for a really long time. But wait, if you're in a coma, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're...
Doesn't mean you're dead. You could come out of it.
Right.
Yeah, but what if it, like... You would come out, but you'd have brain damage. Would you, like, want the plug to be pulled?
Maybe, because I think then I'd probably be a big burden on my family. So, yeah, I think it would be very expensive and very hard on them. And I, you know, there's nothing I can do to help the situation except if they were to pull the plug, then I'm gone, and it's...
What about in a hypothetical situation where it wouldn't be a burden, a rich family maybe that could support somebody, do you think, and... There was no way that they would come out of a coma, and if they did, they'd be a vegetable. Do you think that they have the right to pull the plug?
But I still think it's just so emotional for a family to have that over their heads all the time, and they're constantly like, I mean, I think it probably affects their lives so much that they can't move cities and things without considering it. It's such a big consideration if you have a family member that's in a coma that you're constantly caring for. Mm-hmm. And it's not even really about the money, more about the emotional... Mm-hmm. The emotional taxation of it.
Yeah. So if you were to pull the plug on somebody like this, they would die right away.
Yeah,
pretty much.
But what do you think? Like, if you were really sick, and it was a terminal illness, and you weren't going to get better, then it starts to hurt. Like the illness progresses so much that you're in so much pain. You might live for another 6 months, but it's going to be a painful 6 months. Mm-hmm. Would you want to die sooner rather than go through the whole 6 months of pain?
I think it's difficult to say how you would actually feel unless you're in the situation.
But say you've made
but
your...
But how about you can take control of the situation and say, I'm ready to go.
If you have made your peace. I mean, if you've been through this, if this is something that maybe you've heard about a couple years ago or something, and your time is limited now on this mortal coil, and you're going to be going out eventually, sooner or later, no one can say. I mean, probably from that point on, you're going to start coming to terms with your spirituality, or, you know, whatever your life is, the sum of all your experiences or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And as you start to sort of maybe come to terms with that, that's gradually, like, giving you some peace of mind. But, like, on the other pendulum, there's all the pain that's coming. Like, it's going to be a more and more painful death. Mm-hmm. What would you do then, Bo?
Well, if I was in the situation, I would have somebody who was... responsible for pulling the plug, maybe look into cryogenics.
And what's cryogenics?
Isn't that what it is? Like freezing?
Oh. And then you could be brought back to life later when they figured it all out.
A cure, yeah.
Yeah, maybe something like that.
That's true. If you have unlimited funds,
you could freeze yourself.
And if you have limited funds, then taxidermy would be okay.
So like your mom could put you on her shelf.
Well, I mean, think of... euthanasia is it's a big deal with humans, but it happens all the time with animals. My dog was euthanized, and many dogs are. I mean,
my
that's a life.
Yeah. And I felt better knowing that our dog wasn't in pain when that happened with our dog. Like, it was a hard decision to make.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, the poor thing was suffering so much and mm-hmm. was in a lot of pain that it was, and that was even hard for us to watch. So imagine if it's a human, like, say it's your brother.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting point. It's like, you're not just living this life by yourself. You're not just totally an individual. You're connected to everybody else. So I think that decision would have to be based on all of the people that love you and are surrounded by you as well.
And it wouldn't be an easy decision either, but I think in order to define, like, I guess for the family who had to sit by and either allow the person to let themselves die or to make the decision for them, it's not really killing, it's not really murder at that point, because it's not really life that is ending. I mean, I think that if you're bedridden and you're totally, you've lost all control over
your functions,
all your functions, that's not really living anymore. So it's sort of an in-between state anyways.
Right.
So I don't think, I don't know, I think it's a good thing. I think it's a progressive thought, but an important one.
Yeah, I remember I was talking to one of my students who had a father who was dying, and he was telling me about how difficult it was to see him going down further and further and further, and for the entire family, really. So maybe something like euthanasia would
be something that they could grasp and could actually give them a lot of peace of mind, all the whole family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about this, though? Like, Dr. Kevorkian, he is in court still now.
And he's so controversial.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the thing that's interesting to me is that people give him permission to kill them, and he injects them with certain medicines, I suppose, and then they die. But these people, if they really wanted to die, I mean, maybe they chose him because it's it seems medical to them, or, I mean, maybe jumping off a building or cutting the wrist is too gory. But I mean, I'm sure they could find other ways that wouldn't be painful. They could take sleeping pills if they really wanted to.
Sure.
But I think why they choose him is because they want someone else to have responsibility for it. Instead of them saying, like, I have problems, I did it to myself, they want someone to say, like, this guy feels the same way. You know, like, he's responsible.
Like an advocate, kind of.
Exactly. So I'm getting to.
I saw a movie once, and it was based on a true story, and it was about this really old retired couple, and I believe the wife had Alzheimer's, and she was really, really, really sick and deteriorating, and she couldn't even get off the couch, like, she was that sick, and so her husband actually took it upon himself to kill her.
Really?
Yeah, he shot her twice.
Yeah.
Really?
No, I think I heard about that, actually.
Yeah. And then he was on trial, but his claim was that it was a mercy killing, and that he loved his wife all, like, for the 50 years or whatever that they were married. He loved her, and he did it because he cared for her, not because he wanted to get rid of her, but because of the pain that he saw her in, and he wanted to alleviate that. She couldn't actually say herself that she wanted to be killed. He made that decision for her, but
maybe they
the
knew
people
each
that
other
knew
well.
Him, exactly, the people that knew him and knew their marriage understood him, that, you know, he wouldn't have just murdered her. It was out of love, and it was because he cared for her, and that's why it was a mercy killing.
So what did the courts decide?
I don't remember that part of the movie.
Probably he probably got in trouble for it. I mean, it's really brutal. How I think it's almost kind of fascist how the government takes such an interest. It is really, like, sort of, ultimately, I think something like that should be the individual's right. You've gained a lifetime of making your own decisions and so many things. And then, like, some bureaucrats are telling you you can't end your life, even though you're the one who has to suffer through it. You're the one who has to put up with all the waiting around.
That's what I always thought was interesting. Like, in the States, anyway, suicide is illegal. It's against the law to kill yourself.
Yeah, right.
So, but it's just a contradiction almost. Because
what are they going to do once you're dead?
Arrest your corpse.
Yeah.
There's also another story I know about, that in Saskatchewan, a father murdered his 13 or 14-year-old daughter. She was severely retarded. And he shot her, I believe. I'm not sure if he shot her, actually. Hang on. He might have, but anyways, he did kill her. And he totally owns up to that, but he said, you know, she was in so much pain, and it was too much. He was very, very poor, and so he couldn't even put her in the proper facility, like, give her the proper facilities to even make herself comfortable anymore.
Right.
So, and again, like that, I mean, I think he's still in court for that.
And that would be like a social problem, wouldn't it? That he couldn't, he wasn't able to.
Yeah, that one, that's a little dodgier. I think that's
a little bit. Yeah, but that's a thing, like, I mean,
rare.
It's still arguable I mean, she was in pain, and yeah, I guess it is more. I see what you're saying.
She was in pain. Being retarded is painful.
Well, I think there might have been other things going on as well. But like, I mean, so if you did just sort of like carte blanche, say, okay, yeah, euthanasia is okay.
Right.
Who knows where that's going to go?
Yeah, that's the problem. I think that's why the government gets involved so much, because yeah, you could end up killing somebody, and it could actually be a murder. And
exactly. People are always claiming they're insane when they do things now, because insanity leads to, like, 3-year prison terms as opposed to life prison terms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if people could suddenly claim, like, oh, no, I euthanized that person, then that gives a whole new avenue of...
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
And it leads to other things, too. Right. Like, someone has... Is this going to have a hard time of life because they're not as equipped in some, like, with some respect? Oh, she's not smart enough. She has a learning disorder. He's got a bum leg or something.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to have a fighting chance, so I euthanized him. It sort of reeks of master race.
Exactly.
Sort of weird filtering process.
This was just in the paper the other day. A situation where a father in England killed his daughter because of her mental anguish. So it's kind of along the same line. She was obsessed with Manic Street Preachers or something, some guy who in the band had committed suicide or something. Mm-hmm. So she numerous times tried to do that. And
commit suicide.
And she was just hurt emotionally.
Tormented.
And her father helped her commit suicide. He put a plastic bag over her head and then put a pillow over that.
Oh, God.
That is weird.
Yeah,
and
her
nothing
parents.
Was wrong with her other than the fact that
she was just
obsessed with
it. Obsessed, yeah. And the father called it a mercy killing.
How old was she?
That's
crazy. I think she was about maybe 24, 25. I don't remember exactly. Mm-hmm. It was just in the paper the other day.
My mom works in a hospice in Calgary, and she's against euthanasia. And like completely against euthanasia, because she believes that you can keep people comfortable,
mm-hmm.
and just give them a lot of love and support, and you can make them comfortable,
mm-hmm.
and just help them get through that time.
Well,
it can be painful, but
is a hospice a place where people go when they're terminally
It's for terminally ill people.
And by the way, what's carte blanche? So has anybody ever heard any stories of like people coming out of comas and what they've experienced? Because I have never. Like, was it peaceful for them? Were they in a dream state? Did they see the light?
What? Lots of times you hear that they can actually hear
mm-hmm.
what people are saying. Maybe not everything all the time,
mm-hmm.
but some things they'll
mm-hmm.
hear
they
and
know.
Remember.
Yeah.
Which
is kind of interesting.
Yeah. Do they have feelings? It's like, the fetus. Does the fetus have feelings at a certain stage? And
mm-hmm. I think in situations like that where it's other people deciding for the people, I don't know. I think it does have to be the family's decision. And, they're the ones paying the money for it, and they're the people who know it. If the doctors can guarantee the person's not going to come out, or if they do come out, they're just going to be...
But I think pulling the plug is different from euthanasia.
Definitely, yeah.
You know,
if a person is trying to make an educated decision about it, and an enlightened decision, and has made their peace with everybody and with their decision, and I think... that's almost just a release in a way. If it's like, okay, I'm ready to do this. I mean, if you've been in pain for this long and you've had this much time to come to grips with,
and you're ready to go,
yeah, the concept of death is not a scary idea anymore, and you're welcoming it. It's scarier to have to, like, I can imagine having to spend 5 years in a hospital bed or something, never getting out, and just being like waking up in pain every day. That would suck. I think you would come to that decision pretty quickly, actually.
Well, and especially when you know it's deteriorating and you know that it's going to come. Like, death is coming. Like,
sure.
And I think most people, when it comes to the point where they can actually make a decision about euthanasia, it's when they're that close to death anyways. They're probably
mm-hmm.
just a matter of months away from death.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not a question anymore of will they get better.
Mm-hmm.
And
plus there's a thing of death with dignity. As your last kind of act... as a living person, I guess, would be dying. And I guess if you could control sort of the way that you go out, I think that sort of would be a very comforting thought, too. I mean, if you are just going to be, like, going out screaming and puking and just make blood everywhere, like, really gory scene, and just not at all, like, in control of anything that's going on, and all of a sudden just you're snuffed out, that's sort of like a crappy way to be remembered. That's not the way you want to go in the world.
Well,
you'd totally be remembered for that. You're like,
you
can blood on people.
But if you even went through all of that, and then you're just sort of in a coma or whatever until you die, like, say you do go through all these, like, spastic things or whatever, and then suddenly, like, okay, so you're coherent, suddenly you've got so much pain you can't even talk anymore, so you're not going to be able to make any more peace at that point. You're not going to be able to say, like, I'm ready to go. Like, now you're just sort of, like, hanging on because they're making you hang on until your body gives up.
Yeah.
You know, like, my mind's ready to go. I want to go.
In a dignified way. Yeah. Just sort of, like, close my eyes and...
See, part of me believes, like, that maybe there is a God. And maybe that my life was planned and I am here for a reason and I was brought into...
a specific amount of time.
Right. I was brought into this world to experience all of the things that I'm going to experience and death being part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, I would say that if I'm going to argue that completely, I would say that euthanasia is wrong because it is my plan, the plan that was ordained for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I'm sitting in a comfortable position. I'm not terminally ill. I'm not going through pain.
Right.
So it's easy for me to say that. And I don't have a family member like that.
But also, like, if... I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, no, I was just going to say, like, okay, so even if you do believe in God, God also gave you... like the faculties to think of these things and to come to these decisions, and these thoughts come from somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, if you do start to go down the avenue of, like, you know what, I think at this point I'm ready to die. I don't want to go down this road of just, like, deteriorating.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody gave you these. If God created you, he also created you with, like, the mental capability to come up with these ideas and make these decisions. So I think that that's even an arguable point. Like, maybe he wants me to make this decision for myself, and that's my lesson that I need to learn.
I was going to say
that's quite possible
a similar thing, which is that you're talking about being preordained or destiny and whatnot. I mean, what if our destiny was to be euthanized, and what if that was part of the plan? I mean, you can never tell really until
you can.
The end
decision, which is not
like, oh, are you supposed to live out your life naturally? Does that happen, or is the plug pulled from under from when you're in a coma? You know, maybe talking about predestined plans. I believe in predestined plans, but I think there's no way to know what that would ever be until maybe we get the answers when we die. I don't know.
Right.
I just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
And all the choices leading up to that one choice too. If it's not your decision, then were all the previous decisions and things that you had done previous to it, would those be negated by that? Would they would those have been fated too, or were you in control of those parts? And if so, why not be in control right up to the end and make the final greatest, you know, not the greatest decision,
but possibly the most important.
Yeah.
You know, or like a certainly significant one.
Yeah.
You know?
It's sort of like the period, the final punctuation on a long story or something, the final sentence kind of thing. How does it end? You know,
I'm definitely for individual freedom and individual cases. Like, I don't think you can say, okay, yes, euthanasia is okay,
right,
all time, 100%. But it's like, I believe that every single case should be looked at differently. Mm-hmm. Like, only you and your family and those around you know your life.
So basically,
and if it's appropriate for you.
The choice should be made available to people, though. Do you think by the Netherlands legalizing and saying people do have the choice to do it, that's okay? They're saying the government is taking their hands off that side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And if people want, people from there, it doesn't mean that if you're sick and you're going to die, you're going to die. We're going
to
speed
up. I'm sure that there's a lot of hoops that you have to go through to actually get to the point where
I think
you're
very...
even looked at to be, like, for consideration of, like, okay, now you can be euthanized if you want. You probably have to go through so many hoops.
It's very, very strict, right? Like, a bunch of procedures you got to go through.
Well, we were talking about earlier the financial aspect of it.
Mm.
Now, again, hypothetically, what if there were just funds made available to keep people alive,
like just a kitty, like a
I mean, no, just like, yeah, maybe dogs and cats too, but people, let's say, for example, people.
No, like a kitty, like a pot of money.
Oh, okay.
Like whatever that's called.
All right.
Petty cash.
Yeah,
kitty.
A piggy bank. Okay, carte blanche. But let's just say, like, you know, it was just free. Just we paid extra taxes to have people, like, to keep them alive until maybe there's a chance to find a cure or freeze them or put more money into that.
Mm-hmm.
So then would you all agree that just in cases of where people are in extreme pain, that they should be euthanized?
Yeah, I don't think anybody should just be able to do it. Well, actually, I kind of do. I think no one should be able to say whether or not you can make this decision over your own life. It's your life.
That's how I feel.
No, how can the government take it upon themselves to say, no, well, we think you should be hooked up to a life support system for the next 5 years.
But, I mean, the people that are in comas, they can't make their own decisions.
Yeah, well, that's more like the mercy killing kind of thing. Mm.
I believe that laws should exist in order to, like, so people can be happy and not, like, something should not be legal if it's going to hurt somebody else or themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Following that lines, if you are terminally ill and you're suffering a great deal of pain and your family is suffering a great deal of pain, it should be okay for you to end your life. Now, whether or not you believe in God or all these other things, they might also come into play when you're personally making that decision.
Exactly. But while you're coming to that,
yeah, but the government shouldn't say, this is not allowed.
Yeah.
I don't believe in that. I believe the least regulations as possible.
Yeah, there should be a window whereby people can empower themselves at that stage in the game, I think. But of course, then I think what really freaks people out about it, I don't think a lot of people have a problem with the main idea of people in that situation having the right to end their own lives. But I think worrying about opening the door a little bit more, you sort of let that go through, and then it just sort of progresses. And then anybody who wants is like, oh, I got a stomach ache, someone kill me, like put a gun in my mouth, you know. But I guess that's where the real issue sort of comes down to, is the whole love issue and people around you and how they would react to
you.
That whole thing, too. I mean, of course, people aren't going to be happy with it if someone close to you is on the verge of dying.
Mm-hmm.
In most situations, I think people would really have a problem with that.
What?
Someone making the decision to kill themselves.
Oh.
Or making the decision for them.
Well, what if they had a big life insurance policy? They might be happy.
Well, see, then there's a whole... Well, people kill each other for worse reasons. Yeah, people who are doing really fine, they kill each other, too. But that's the thing. When you make it sort of open like that, then it sort of
gives people all the more reason.
Yeah.
People find all the more reason to be able to.
People find an angle to euthanize somebody. I want to euthanize this guy over here.
He's annoying me.
Euthanize your ass.
I was reading about Buddhism the other day, and I heard this theory. Actually, one of my students told me this theory about Buddhism, that your children are people whom in your past life have really helped you. And now in this life, you must help them.
Mm.
And your husband or your wife or somebody that you really hated, and now in this life, you must learn to love them.
Ah.
Yeah, it's interesting. And if it's true, for example, let's say that your child is very, very ill, and maybe they're going to go through an extended period of time of suffering. And as a parent, it is maybe your job in this life to learn the lessons that you must learn to take care of that sick person.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, euthanasia might not be
an
beneficial.
option, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you hate your wife in this life, and the next life you love her, right?
Okay. Hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've accomplished that lesson.
You can't euthanize her, dude.
No. Damn.
Not an option at this
point. Damn.
What about with parents, though? I think the larger segment of people who are up for this idea are the old folks, you know. And, I mean, if you look at a Confucian society like Korea, we were talking about it earlier, the idea of deferring to older people and showing respect to old people, that doesn't really fit in. The whole idea of euthanizing and killing off old people just because they're not going to be productive to themselves or to their society anymore is that...
Goes against everything that they really believe.
It's almost like, it's the opposite of the Confucian kind of ideal.
Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of thing has been happening in societies for ages. Like, if you look at, like, anthropology, for example, you can see in, like, you know, these foraging societies, you know, if a member is no longer going to add to the society, it's expected that they're going to be left behind
and put out to
die. And that's considered...
Is it because they're sick that they can't contribute anymore to their community, or is it they just don't, they're lazy?
It could be that they're
sick. Or whatever, and they just put them out.
Well, no, I think a lot of Asian societies, as well as other societies, were based, they were farmers, and everything was based around the farm. So that's why traditionally they prefer sons, because they could work on the farm and be more productive. So, yeah, it makes sense that when someone becomes non-productive, they would, in a traditional sense, euthanize them. And I've heard stories in Korea where they have those, they used to take those, the A-frame backpacks that they used to carry wood on, and they'd put the grandfather on, and they'd bring him, just leave him in the woods.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, and I mean, what a way to go, just being left alone to nature.
Yeah, but that was considered the way to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, your final sort of gift to the society. Why are you going to keep pulling and pulling if you have no more, you know, nothing to give?
To offer.
But someone would counter that argument and say, well, we're not hunter-gatherer tribes anymore. We have technology everywhere. We have these machines, millions of dollars, and years of research.
And you don't discard people because they can't physically... contribute, or whatever, even if they can't mentally, like, if they just can't contribute at all, that doesn't mean that they're just, they're, like,
expendable.
Maybe they have knowledge as well.
That's
that
kind
can be
of,
contributed.
That's how tradition works, though, even though in modern-day society, where you have a homogeneous society like Korea, old traditions die hard, you know? Some of the old traditions are still very pervasive and...
very evident.
Yes, in Korea. I mean, the whole thing about marriage and having a son is still here, even in this modern day society.
So, okay, but they aren't putting their ancestors out to pasture anymore, sort of thing. You know, like, I don't think that they're still doing that. So they've come, you know, they've moved, they've progressed in some ways, and they're not doing that anymore.
Well,
but,
I think,
so then would, do you think that they might be, they might lean towards euthanasia then?
Maybe. I think in traditional days it depended on class, the class system. So the more money you had, the more affluent you were, the better mound you got with the better gravesite and people to take care of it. Whereas the poorer people would probably, who worked on the farm, that's all they had, that was their life, would you know, take their grandparents out to the woods and leave them. If that was my situation, if my family was, of course, you know, if they loved me and but they were poor, and I had, say, for example, a life insurance policy, I would want them to take me out.
Yeah,
I mean, that would benefit. Like, if say there was kids involved, that would, they could live off of that, and you know, grow into
rather than it all being spent
on me, who nobody knows what's going to happen, or
they do know that you will die. You know, they know that that's coming, and so what's the point in putting money into
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
And the idea of also the having a fund for making lives last longer, I think it's sort of like where it's needed. I mean, there's so many other things. People who need to get started on a life and are going to have a substandard life from day one, those maybe are lives that we could improve on. And if you look at it more of in a holistic sense, of course, you always have stronger loyalties to your family and your loved ones, the people who are close to you. And so if you had the money, you're going to put it towards them and their quality of life.
But maybe we need to look more at the community and things.
And there's a global community as well. It's like people who have like sort of had their time and it didn't quite work out for them maybe, and they're sort of on their way out now. And that's where it's the individual. The individual, if the individual actually is saying, hey, I'm volunteering, man.
I'm ready to go.
I'm out of it, yeah.
And so then the money that almost would have been spent, say, for the next, like, following 6 months that would have kept them just barely alive or just barely comfortable, that money could almost be put into the community or whatever to jumpstart some...
Hopefully, yeah.
Hopefully get some kids off to a better start or something if they're living below the poverty line or something, that, you know, you could save money... If it's about money, you know, you could save money here and put it back into the community this way or something.
And often you find the families of someone, if say you had have whatever disease it is and there's no cure for it and that's why you're going out, the money that you would spend to keep yourself alive, put it, make a fund for to find a cure for that disease and, like, eradicate them one by one in that way and do the greater good, sort of take one for the team. I think there's a lot of dignity in that. It's a very noble way to die. I think that would lend a great poetry to a death.
What about this aspect of love, though? If you love somebody, would you want them to kill themselves before, let's say, they were to naturally die? Or would you want, because you love them, you don't want to see them go through pain?
Okay.
Like, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, like, for our own family members or whatever, I have a grandfather that's got Alzheimer's really badly, and he's not so bad now, but we all sort of know it's going to get pretty bad.
Right.
And I'm kind of all for if it gets to a point, can we euthanize him? Because he's out of his head. Mm-hmm. He's in pain. He doesn't understand anything. Mm-hmm. And once it gets to a point where it's really, like, that traumatic for the family, like emotionally traumatizing for the family or whatever, let the poor guy go.
Mm-hmm. Is he in pain, though? I mean, it's in the mind. I mean, what is he actually feeling? I don't know if you can...
But when it gets to a point where, like, he doesn't get... I mean, he hasn't had a shower in a month, apparently.
Mm. You
but
know? Is like, that I mean, bothering him, or is it bothering other people? He probably doesn't care. He doesn't know about it.
But I think that it does get to a point where they maybe can sort of, like, lose all functions, lose their bodily functions, and they don't even get up anymore. They just don't... Maybe they start to lose more... Like, it spreads out beyond Alzheimer's.
It's just like a really slow death, then. Yeah. An excruciatingly slow death. And I think it's not really love anymore. If it's a love, it's a more selfish love at that point because you want grandpa around or you want these people around you. Of course you do.
Even though he's shitting everywhere.
And I don't think there's any guilt in sort of saying, like, let's let him go. Let's let him have a nice exit here sort of thing.
Yeah.
You're into that. That nice poetic...
poetic exit, yeah. You don't want to go with a lump in your pants and some nurses
well,
all...
Absolutely.
It probably wouldn't be a lump.
Strows.
He's, you know, that's just the way I see it. Yeah. I think that if it came to that, I think I'd rather see him go than hang on to him just and have all the family just... Like,
it's a very...
Just, I mean, it's out of love that we'd let him go, not out of love, you know. Yeah.
Speaking of the love, and speaking of Stephen King, who we were just talking about earlier... The movie Dolores Claiborne
was
about that, about this woman who was a real bitch.
And, that's a great movie.
And she wanted to die, but the love that she had for Dolores, her maid, she treated her like shit for her whole life. Mm-hmm. And then she asked Dolores, you know, will you kill me? And she threw her down the stairs or something?
I can't remember the end, but it's an awesome movie. I remember really liking
and
it.
And she left her money, I think it was,
too. Yeah, I think
too.
She did leave her money.
And so it turns out in the end that she really did love her. It was just her way of showing it was... And Dolores ended up killing her.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Out
Stephen
of love.
King,
even
out of love.
She treated really, really
and,
badly.
Yeah, I mean, because... And probably... But also probably because that was sort of their relationship that, you know, you do what I say.
Right. Yes. You must kill me.
Yeah.
No,
but out of respect, she did. Mm-hmm. You know? And because also she had the upper hand at that point. She could have totally turned the tables and made her life a living hell.
Yeah.
Well, let's say, for example, you have a love, like your husband or your wife, and they're terminally ill, and they say, listen, I am in so much pain. I don't want to live anymore. Would you please kill me?
Mm-hmm.
Because I, for some reason, this person can't do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be able to do something like that? Would you be able to euthanize somebody that you love?
I wouldn't be able to.
Wow, I don't think I could.
I couldn't.
I don't know. It'd be really hard because, it'd be in that special case where I'd have to sort of be in the situation and looking at it going, well... Yeah, you're really sick, and I know you're not going to get better, and it's the hardest decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe I would be the person that would be like, I'll see what I can do. I'll try and, you know, talk to a doctor who can get some pills or something.
So I was going to say, it depends on the method of death.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, shooting them or putting,
yeah,
you know. Like,
I have trouble killing a cockroach.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, not me. No.
Yeah, if it was like a sledgehammer or something, I don't think I'd want to do it. But there are very, very peaceful ways to...
That would be a very difficult thing to have to do.
Sure. What do you think about, okay, this is like not people, but back to animals again.
Okay.
Like the Chinese recently, or the people, was it Hong Kong, all these chickens had diseases.
Oh, the flu.
The flu. So they killed like 1,500,000 chickens by putting them in barrels and gassing them with carbon dioxide.
Mm.
Now, that's a form of euthanasia, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah.
Or, genocide? Chicken genocide? But people
kill poultry every day anyways.
Right.
Poultry is going down, and they're raising poultry to kill poultry.
To eat, though.
To eat.
Yeah,
but
just to kill them to knock out a disease.
Like the mad cow disease as well.
Yeah, and like just... Sure. Like it's,
but is it a threat to like humans, right? Like, I mean, because if we're still looking at natural order, of course the chicken's got to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about like... a lot of cats every year and dogs in America are euthanized because of population. Is that, do you believe in that? Do you think they should be doing that? Is there other ways to solve
that? Yeah, the Humane Society has a rule. Mm. If the animal is after 3 months in the place, they have the right to kill it, to kill it afterwards. So.
But do you think that's right, or do you think that there would be other ways of controlling that?
I think it's pretty bad, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate, I think, but, I mean, it's I think, a necessary evil. I mean, if people don't fix their animals, they will. That's their nature.
Okay, what about China, who's got almost 1 billion... people. Are they going to start doing it just because they didn't neuter each other?
Well, they are trying to do, like, what,
zero
growth?
They're
trying to implement,
planning and stuff. But that's not going to work. You're going against procreation.
But, yeah, you're thinking about that. Like, there are so many people in the world.
Yeah.
And there's only a certain number of resources.
Yeah, what happens when there's not enough food?
Elderly people are taking a lot of money and stuff like this. So
yeah,
if
aging populations. This is probably going to be a really big issue in about 20 years when the baby boomers all start hitting that age.
Oh, yeah.
Like our parents' age kind of thing, when they start getting up to that age. And they're going to want rights. And this is going to be a really important, weird thing because they're used to being the people who always made all
the decisions.
Rules when everything was starting to really get going this century. And I think it would probably be, you'll see more where they're coming from on things. And I think that's the way that they'll want to do it.
And they could be the decision makers for that because there will be so many of them. And probably a lot of them will be like, you know what? I don't want to die in this way. I want to go this way.
Yeah.
Well,
that could be a turning point.
And because there's going to be like a loud voice at some point, there probably will be a loud voice of baby boomers wanting it that way.
It's very interesting because it's like with the idea of passing new legislation on allowing people to euthanize family members or people that want to die, allowing them to die, there is also new technology coming out that is helping them to live longer or cryogenics that, you know, might work. Mm-hmm. So it's like a battle against the two things, like which one is going to win? Is it going to be like we're going to sustain life longer or are they going to just kill people at the
drop
of a dime?
I'd like to see them, well, I mean, who wouldn't? But like obviously like find cures for diseases.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I think the trend is going to be try to extend
life.
Well,
yeah. No, I know that's what you're saying too, but also like I'd like to see life be able to go on, but in a
educated way. I mean,
like in a way that they're contributing or whatever, in a way that they're there, like coherently there. Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting point, like to find cures. Like, say, for example, you have AIDS or you have cancer. Those are pretty, you know, terrible ways to die. And you're at the point like, okay, I don't want to live anymore. This really sucks. You kill yourself, and a month later, they come up with a cure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hypothetically, that could happen.
Sure, yeah.
It totally could, but...
Well, I mean, it has happened. It's happened with, like, polio and stuff before they came up with a vaccine. People die from it, or tuberculosis, things like that.
And there's no point in dwelling on it, I don't think, because it's just a decision you made. And if you chose to be euthanized, and, like, 2 days later, they discovered a cure for your disease, you know, you made that decision, and there's nothing anybody can do to change it.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe
your family's going to feel a little bit badly that they let you go through that, but you know what? They're going to have to get over it. It's just sort of, why dwell on it, you know?
Yeah.
You could spend way too much time just...
Mm-hmm. And you can always explore your options. I mean, if you're like, I'm thinking about maybe killing myself, but if you look into it, you know, you can say, are there any new drugs coming up? Yeah, is there something on the horizon?
We're going
or are we, like,
to know.
Still
yeah.
miles away? Is it, like, basically we have no idea what you have,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to get worse and worse, like, exponentially by the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that movie, Lorenzo's Oil?
Yeah.
Something like this is good, eh?
Yeah. There was also a movie on the Michael Landon story.
Uh-huh.
Where he had cancer and his son was trying like to get these medicines from Mexico that would cure his prostate cancer or something, and Michael Landon was just like, "No, son, this is just my."
Not really.
Yeah.
He let himself out.
Yeah. He was just like, "This is what happened to me. This is my destiny. Leave me alone."
Yeah, I suppose there is that. There's that
choice.
There's
something there.
Yeah. Because he lived a full life or something?
Yeah, he had all the fame and fortune and a bunch of kids and a bunch of wives and jewels.
Mm-hmm. Like, I really think, I mean, some people don't feel like they maybe would want to die. I mean, maybe they're sick and they're in bed.
And that's why it's your choice.
It's a choice. It's not like you have to die and stuff, but
right.
I don't think people should be so freaked out by the idea
of... They should be allowed to have the choice.
Right.
But what you were saying before about the power of the mind, I think that's something, you know, like... I've seen many movies, and, you know, the last scene is like, I'm dying now. Well, how do you know that? You have made that decision to die at that point, and you have come to terms with everything in your life, even, like, the unconscious things that you don't even think exist.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really wanted to die, maybe you could just die through your mind's power.
Mm-hmm. My mom says that happens a lot, like, at the hospice and stuff, like, that...
They decide one night, I think I'm not gonna
one story that she told me was a man... that had AIDS or whatever, and his boyfriend was there, and he would stay, and he wanted to be there for his last moments.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally said, the sick guy said, you know, why don't you go get a cup of coffee? And so he left, and then he went.
Yes.
And then he came back and he was gone. And my mom had to explain, you know, like, it's amazing. People will choose their time to go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They have gay guys in Canada.
No, but I think that's true. So, like, maybe somebody that thinks that they want to die, they want to have euthanasia, maybe they don't really want to. There's some part of them mm-hmm. that is still hanging on to life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe, you see people that just hang on. Why is that?
Yeah, maybe they think they can make it through.
Yeah.
Well, and also, like, even when people are told it's a terminal illness, you have 6 months to live.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people will die. Like, that's a powerful statement to say you've got 6 months to live. Lots of people live.
They give up.
People will die within that 6 months because they just suddenly give up.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe had they not heard those words, they just think, you know, well, I'll just continue, and they can't.
Yeah, I've heard of that before. Right after your doctor says you're going to die, you die shortly after.
Yeah, I totally believe in the power of the mind and
suggestion
healing.
Suggestion, almost.
Yeah, like, yeah. I think there's a lot more to our minds than we know that we're capable of using.
Mm-hmm. And so then if you did open up the avenue of euthanasia, then suddenly that avenue gets a little bit...
Yeah.
Becomes more of a dead end because suddenly it's like, well, I'm allowed to go, so I'm going to go. Less people will maybe choose to try and fight it out or use their own power, their own mind to come through it.
Right. Maybe if euthanasia was allowed and you felt like this burden, like your family is going through this huge financial burden, maybe then you would say, okay, kill me.
Mm.
But maybe really you're not completely ready to die because if you were, your mind would shut off and accept that and you would die.
Mm.
Or maybe we haven't really learned to use our minds completely. And so we can't,
I think so.
Yeah, so we can't expect that everybody that wants to die could do it themselves that way.
But I mean, a lot of these situations.
It's so much to think about.
A lot of the situations, though, it's often a case of like not actually being given anything or not actually being killed per se, but often just left left alone. I mean, just like stop the machines and stop all the gadgets and stuff.
Right.
Because maybe you're being forced to stay alive, even though you're well past it. Just like, just let me go already. Just take me away. But because you got this state-of-the-art, you got this state-of-the-art equipment hooked up to you and stuff that's like
pumping
literally
your heart
keeping your heart pumping and stuff.
Manually keeping you alive as opposed to...
Then, you could conceivably, like, theoretically live forever. Why not, you know?
But I think that idea of being hooked up and having that technology is because there is hope that they will maybe miraculously, oh, we just found this medicine in Uganda and wherever, and here, take it, and now you're better.
Yeah,
you know, that's the whole idea of that.
It's a race against time or something.
Exactly. It's like... So it's like we got to try everything that's humanly possible
to
keep this person alive as much as we can, and if we can't find it, then, well.
Well, maybe we shouldn't think of life and death as being two completely separate things, right? You're living life and you're dying, right? Mm-hmm. Every day, every minute, we're all dying. We're all accepting
one
that
one closer
fact.
Step to death.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that the death is just a course of living.
Well, that's, I guess in a certain religion, that's the idea. But, I mean, Buddhism is not like that. It's like a cycle. So You're living, you're dying, you're living, you're dying. So maybe they might think another way that it's not, we're not getting closer to death, but we're getting closer to life.
A new
on
life.
The upper swing,
And the government
Getting close to, I think, to that point, right? Whether it's a death or it's the start of a new life. We're always getting closer to that point. And so do you want to rush the process or do you want to just let it go?
The thing is, the people who make the rules, like the government, they don't see it in terms of, the Buddhist stance or the continuum sort of from life into death. They just see it as tax-paying citizen, stiff.
Right.
And that's really, they're the ones who are making the decision and or who are basically regulating for the majority of the people whether or not
they're
they have control
that
over
that. Aren't based on.
But if they didn't regulate it, then I think it would get out of hand like we were talking about earlier. So they have to regulate it somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what governments are set up for, to regulate things that would get out of hand. I mean, it would be chaos without...
Regulations.
If you're in charge of a society, right, you want every single member of your society to be adding something to the society, right? And that's like maybe a long time ago in these like forging societies when people had to keep moving, it would make sense to leave the elderly people behind because they cannot move. Maybe in a farming community, it might be nice to keep the old people alive because they have a lot of tradition and stories and knowledge to give to the younger generation. So in this society, we have to think, okay, people who are terminally ill, what are they adding to society? And they are actually adding something. Mm-hmm. They are adding something, I don't know.
Well, yeah.
Carbon well, but dioxide. Okay,
but if they're, they could be, because if they're willing to try a new drug, they're the ones that are sick, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they're the ones that are going to respond to the drug. They need sick people to try.
They're guinea pigs.
Experimental
drugs.
Okay,
guinea pigs is one.
And
what else?
Carbon monoxide from the trees and plants.
So they are contributing some way, you know? Yeah. Like, even if they're not physically fit or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, like, they're still making their body available to say, like, yeah, I will try that new experimental drug, because even if it doesn't work, at least you'll know,
mm-hmm.
and that'll get you off this page and onto a new page.
Right.
And also, they have a unique vantage point, being so close to death and still among the living, you know, mm-hmm. and they have a unique perspective in that
That's right.
Because
and
death
it's something
is...
that a lot of people will never, like, we say we can't really conceive of it because, you know, it's hard for us to say unless we've actually been there or been that close to it or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually...
So there's a, you know, the perspective thing that they offer.
Another problem with government regulations... on the bad side of it is that these people that want to try new drugs to try to stay alive or be guinea pigs are regulated by the government, and they're not letting them try these new drugs that might actually do something or a combination of something. They don't let them try that. Like,
they aren't so accessible.
Because they might be harmful or something.
Exactly.
Worsen their situation.
Right now in South Africa, there's a pharmaceutical company that has developed a generic form of the AIDS medication, and the government is not letting them produce it, which is really sad, because that's where they say, you know, most of the AIDS cases are in Africa. That's like the hub of it. And that
do you know why?
Because it hasn't been tested enough and whatnot, but
maybe it's expensive as well.
Well, that's the generic brand. That's why they're making it, because it would be cheap for people.
For the masses.
That's the idea. Mm-hmm. And that's why that's the problem.
It might have side effects. It hasn't been tested. It might make it worse, but
it might make it better.
Yeah,
but
so, like, I'm sure there's many people that are saying, yeah, give it to me.
Willing to try it. Exactly, to be that person, to be like, yeah, whoa, I got a, like, third arm now, so don't be giving this out anymore, you know? Like,
and that's where the government has to sort of, like, back off. It is down to individual decisions.
And I don't know why, because, I mean, the government was the one that started AIDS in the first place.
Oh, you're such a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
That's not true.
It's not?
You don't know that it is. It probably is, but...
We don't know for sure.
Yeah.
And that's not what we're talking about anyway.
Right.
Only the strict facts here.
Okay.
Right.
Euthanasia.
Euthanasia. Well, is it fair that rich people have, like,
the
all
means?
The access...
The only have one, all the money.
If you have the two... if you only have the two options, like, get really cool, like, cutting-edge technology to keep yourself alive... Or you can have euthanasia. Poor people only have one of those options. It's the euthanasia option.
And it's their own form, most likely, because...
Right.
Well, I believe, I mean, in life, with everything else, it's just like the cards that you have been dealt.
Mm-hmm.
You're poor, you're rich, you're middle class. That's what your life is. That's what you've been given in this life anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do have more opportunities to have a bigger house and a swimming pool... if you have more opportunities to keep yourself alive longer because you have more money, then that's just the way it goes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
And I think that that's where rich people come in handy when they do get terminal diseases, that they're very handy in that way, because they will actually, only when people do start trying.
Right.
Yeah, they have to develop this stuff, but people have to do it before it can be more developed, and it has to be studied and stuff, and that's where they sort of just lead the way. And eventually it'll trickle down to... other people with maybe less money,
right.
Hopefully.
So, of course, like, poor people, a lot more poor people die first before rich people. Like, for example, I've been thinking about this recently. Magic Johnson has had AIDS for, what, like 10 years now, maybe?
Yeah, right.
And you don't hear of him ever being sick or going to the hospital.
Because he's got the money to,
AZT cocktails.
Of experimental drugs and things, he can probably sort of select, like, well, yeah, this one on paper looks like it's really strong, like it's a good drug to take. This one, you know, like, so as far as experimental drugs go, he can at least have the choices for which experimental drugs, and he gets so many more opportunities to get those drugs.
He can afford it, and he can try it, and he's got nothing to lose by trying all these drugs, and so he's actually what he's doing is benefiting all of mankind, because... if it works on him, then it'll work on the average people, and then that's an avenue that we can continue to pursue, you know, in a scientific sense, and do the studies on it and stuff. he's gone into total remission almost with it. You know, you don't see any of.
Doesn't it also though cause like people to say, "Well, look at him; he didn't die." So I'm not going to, like, protect myself. They're going to come up with a cure.
But, an idiot would say that because... because, I mean, obviously, he's in a different, if you want to look at it as class structures or whatever. Yeah. He's way up there in a high bracket and stuff. Only, like, a fool would think that that's all it was he's just another guy. He's not just another guy. He's another rich guy.
But as Michael was saying, as it trickles down, they're just saying, "Well, I can make it. I can stay alive long enough until it trickles down."
Well, that's not going to happen. You're kidding yourself if you think it's going to happen that quickly. Like you're still.
It's going to take a lot of time.
Most people who are dying of AIDS are nowhere near Magic Johnson's bracket. You know, and most of the people who are suffering from something like AIDS live in the least developed countries in the world. You know, and they just will never. He makes in 30 seconds what they make in a year kind of thing.
Right.
To put it in perspective. So I don't know if that's the best tack to take.
So do you think that from that perspective that euthanasia should be available to poor people as an option because they can't afford, the pain-saving devices that a rich person could?
I think it's market influences, supply and demand. If people want to be put out of their misery, they can find a way to put themselves out of their misery. It's all market flux, you know.
But then, it almost seems... What sort of is a fine line is euthanasia and suicide, right?
It is. Mm-hmm.
Like, because I mean, basically, it's you killing yourself, or you making the choice to die,
right?
Assisted,
right? Yeah, and okay, yeah, if it is assisted or whatever, but isn't that what Kevorkian does though? Is he has
assisted
it set up? He sets up the little whatever it is, and you push the button when you're ready to go. You push the button, so it's basically you killing yourself.
I think that is euthanasia in the strictest term, assisted suicide.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. But I mean, otherwise, if that person could just get their hands on a bunch of sleeping pills or whatever, would they take the chance of just swallowing those?
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. I think they want to hand over the responsibility to somebody.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's not just them solely doing it themselves. There's somebody that's taking responsibility for them also. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're taking it on themselves. Yes, I'm killing myself, but this guy's helping me, so he's just as bad, if it turns out to be bad in the other world or
whatever, in their next life.
But he is also a medical doctor, and he's reviewing them, and he's, checking out their condition, and if he's not some guy they met in a bowling alley or something. he's an educated man, and he knows
he's
if diseases are going to... He's qualified to say one way or the other if it's viable.
There's doctors that say, you have a month to live, and then there's nothing wrong with you. You get a second opinion.
Mm-hmm. That's true. True enough.
I suppose if these people have gotten to the point where they're going to kill themselves, I think they've probably gotten second and third opinions.
Probably. They've definitely probably scoped out their options.
Right.
And he's probably a safe bet, and he, as far as assisted suicide goes, he's sort of the godfather of it. And he you can feel safe with him, and he will take care of you, and he will get it done the way you want it.
He will kill you.
But he even published a book about different ways to safely kill yourself, because I think that that's a big concern, because it is suicide, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know, if I swallow these pills, what am I actually going to do? So here you have a book.
And suddenly you're a vegetable.
Is that such a good idea, though? I mean, because it's available to the public for the people that have problems that can be... Or mental problems.
I worked in Cole's bookstore in Canada, and this book is for sale.
That's what I mean. Is it is that a right thing to do, or should it be just given to the medical community to hand out rather than in Cole's bookstore, where anybody who's mental and wants to off themselves can buy it and find different ways to do it?
Yeah, that's true. It's got to be an enlightened decision, I think, and it's not one that. I don't think anybody who does choose to do that, I don't think it's an easy one to come to. And some people who just want to off themselves because they just can't take it anymore for the sheer whatever of it, that's definitely not, that's not something that you'd
want to
open up. That's
beyond euthanasia, I think, about the specific cases about people that are sick and that,
But I mean, it's a bookstore. It's like a trip to your local bookstore, right? And by opening up too much, by making it a little too easy just to kill yourself and learn how.
And as far as marketing goes, I think that's kind of interesting. I mean, that's a book that I'd like to read just for
It's interesting.
I mean, yeah,
they're
selling,
the popularity of it, I think, which is not so cool, but...
How about how you feel about this? Ideally, this is how I think. right now, in the position that I'm, I would like to say that I will live my life through the way that it's planned, and if I'm meant to have a very painful, long death, then I will do that. This is what I'm saying now.
You're prepared. Yeah, sure.
Right?
Fair enough.
And if I have a family member who is going through a lot of pain and wants me to help them kill them, I would like to say that I could also do that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I don't know if that's contradictory.
No,
but
I don't think it is, because you're speaking of yourself, but mm-hmm. and you're also allowing someone that you love to have their own decision.
That's
right?
The problem with a lot of these topics is that we can think of our opinions, but until we're actually in that position,
who knows?
Yeah, we don't really know. We can just guess what we mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is
think
interesting.
It would be like?
Like that maybe more when the baby boomers do get to that point, is that they are the ones that are going to definitely put the final decision on it,
mm-hmm.
you know, because yep. they'll be the ones that are there and going through the death and the pain and the whatever that gets them to the
yeah.
end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think it's really just case by case.
Yeah.
Situation depends on the situation at the time, if someone should be euthanized, depending on maybe finance, depending on
individual preference.
Exactly.
On family
yep.
opinions.
Yeah, definitely case by case, I think, is yeah. probably.
So you'd like to live in a place where the government said that it is legal?
And that it's your choice.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Legally, it's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But also, don't put too much power in the hands of just your average people. Because mm-hmm. also, although governments are kind of dumb, people are also kind of dumb. Mm-hmm. So they have to counterbalance
right.
each other. You don't want just everybody going around euthanizing themselves.
And they're not going to please everybody, but if they can definitely open up the door but put restrictions on it, I think that then you've got at least, you can satisfy both sides somewhat,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, wow.
All right, let's get out of here then.
Yeah,
well,
I've got a class
get the
right
bill?
Now, so.
Yeah.
All right.
It was a good conversation, guys. Next time, let's talk about something brighter.
A little more
uplifting. Yeah.
Okay, it's on you, Luke.
Okay.
Thanks, Luke. We'll see you later.
Oh, I got the bill again? You guys, come back here. Ha, 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 ha.